You may be seated. Good morning, church. I should say church family. As some of you are aware, and if not, I'll let you know that we have a lot of people sent out around the world. We got a crew in El Salvador. That's where Luke and Molly, and I'll be preaching this week and next. We're praying they arrive home safe. And then also we have some men in Michigan, and there was about 20 of them up there. They should be on their way back. And then the lady, Iron Sharpens Iron, was yesterday. So there's a lot of things. And it's an honor to come and share the Word of God with you, and I enjoy it. It is. It's also interesting how God can, like, give you the message, but then he, like, pierces your heart that you needed it. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you don't know what I mean. Okay, so here's what I'm telling you. I needed this, so whether you like it or not, doesn't matter. God used it, okay? Which is awesome. What I realized at the beginning of the week is I got to share an accountability group. And when I shared, I was like, wow, my heart's pretty ugly. And I realized I had leprosy of the heart. And that's where this all started, but actually, 2 or 3 months ago, it kind of started with reading Leviticus 13 and 14. I was doing the chronological Bible in a year. Anyway, I was in Leviticus, and it's 2 chapters that are huge, like 59 verses, 57 verses, all about leprosy. Like if it's boily and weird and pimple-like and white hair and pussy. I listened to it again. It was gross. So it was, and so that's what I get to share with you is, so take notes. Yep. Where we're kicking off at, though, is Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. So let's stand as we read God's word. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and through 45. It says, and the leper came to him, imploring him, and this is Jesus, and kneeling and said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Verse 41 says, moved with pity or compassion, this is Jesus, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth, Lord. We thank you for Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life, the light, the life, the water, the bread, the blood. He's everything every person needs for life. Open our eyes to help us see it. And Lord, pierce our hearts with your truth, but also pierce it with your love, that you love us. We thank you for your wonderful words. We thank you for this time, Lord. We offer it back to you to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So I share with you about leprosy in this, but I don't want to be callous because this is actually, believe it or not, still a real disease that people struggle with. In fact, somebody at 8 o'clock told me that their doctor had treated someone with leprosy. And it's still got the same view that the Old Testament view had on it, which is that you were smitten by God and worthless. So I'm not trying to be callous. I'm actually going to talk about the biblical references of leprosy. There's actually, which is crazy, there's 200 cases a year in the United States. And in fact, when we went over to Israel, they're like, don't touch the livestock, don't touch sick people. Why? They got leprosy. And then I didn't know that till we were checking back in. And I'm like, I petted a lamb. What? You know, like, what do I got to do? Well, Jesus is better than that. Anyway, but it did have ugliness on it, but I touched it. Okay. Now, I want you to know that leprosy in Bible times is actually, we say it, this culture now, it's Hansen's disease, okay? Leprosy, Bible times, was like a big umbrella. So if I said I have a skin disease, right, that's a big umbrella. I have eczema, right? Bible times, that umbrella was called leprosy, but not every case was leprosy. You guys, you follow me? So if some people had leprosy in their clothing, which is, some people had it in their house, which is like mold and mildew. And some people had it on their skin, and they even say in Leviticus 13 that it's like pimples, boils, psoriasis, anything that's on the skin, you would be looked at as unclean, okay? And this is what you would have to do. You would have to go, in the Bible times, into a priestly area, and you'd step in there, and this is the priest's job. Put the gown on, it's examination day. I mean, some of you have been to the doctor, you know what I'm talking about. And so wherever this pimple, wherever this boil is, they're going to look at it. Do you follow me? And Leviticus 13 has, if it has a white hair, it has white lump, if it gets deeper than the skin, it's leprosy, kick them out. If it's a pimple, you quarantine them for 7 days and they get to come back into the community. If it's a boil and it heals and it's good, they're quarantined 7 days and they get to come back. So this is what I thought when I was reading it. Man, I'd hate to be that priest. I mean, ugh. And then I thought, man, I know somebody that their job in our family is to pop pimples. Anybody got them in their family? So those people are looking down right now because they know they're not right. But my Aunt Kay, she was a hairstylist. She would cut my hair and then all of a sudden, get off of me. You're popping. She like pop a neck pimple, like knock it off. She would be that priest. Do you know what I mean? She's like, yeah, let's check this out. Let's see how deep this goes. It's like, oh. Okay. Now, this was also scabs and wounds. I would not want to be that priest. In fact, I saw a commercial for Dr. Pimple Popper. Oh, yeah, just groan. I saw the animal version, like Frodo has a fungus, man. I mean, I don't know. So I'm not, okay. Here's what I want to say. How many of you know that God doesn't look at the outward part? Yeah, where does he look? Yeah, I got leprosy. You follow me? It's not a skin disease. It's a heart issue. And here's the thing, is we all could say, oh yeah, I've had a pimple. You know what? Yeah, we all have got issues in our heart. And this is what's interesting, is God sees it. And so as we walk down this, finding out that there is nastiness about this, but this is what God sees. Right? He sees our nasty. And yet still chooses to love us. Still chooses to even keep us around. So I know we laugh, and yes, we all have that family member that we can talk about, but the heart is what God is after. In fact, this guy that comes to Jesus in biblical times, he was cast out. He was actually looked at as having a sentence of death. You hear me? He was looked at having a sentence of death, because there's three cases of leprosy in the Old Testament I want to go through with you, all right? And then we're going to get to this guy, but here's three cases. The first one is Uzziah. He was a good king of Israel. He was a king, and we got a siren somewhere. Okay. I'm with you, bro. Woo! All right. So, hey, listen, no, keep him here, Mr. Ferris, sit down, because I'd rather have him here than anywhere else, okay? Church, keep your kids right here. This is the best place to be. But I'm going to compete with him, So, okay. Uzziah was the king, and he was a good king, and then pride entered his heart that he was awesome. And he went into the temple of God and grabbed the fiery... he went into the temple and he grabbed the wrong thing. He's going to offer up prayers to the Lord, the incense. He's not authorized. So he's in there and he's swinging the incense, and the priests come in and they're like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Whatever I want. Right? I can do what I want. I'm the king." And they're like, "Put that down. You're not authorized." And you know what happened? Instantly, they saw leprosy breaking out on his forehead. And they're like, "He's got leprosy. Get him out of the temple. He's unclean. Get him away." And it says in Chronicles that that king had leprosy till the day he died. He lived. He was kicked out of the community. He never worshiped God again. You could no longer go to temple. You could no longer bring a sacrifice. You were kicked out of daily worship. You were unclean. That's one. Uzziah, instantly smitten. You see how their view of leprosy was, God is smiting you. And there's two more cases. The next one is Naaman. Naaman was a big general, but an enemy to Israel. He was a big general. He had a little Israeli servant girl. Naaman had leprosy, and this little servant girl said, "Hey, there's a prophet in Israel that could heal you." And this big general was like, "Well, I'll go see him." And he wrote a letter to the king, because you imagine a big general coming at you in your town. You instantly think, "We're at war. Here comes the general of our enemy," right? So he wrote a letter to the king. And he said, "Hey, I'm coming to Israel. I'm not out for war, but I have leprosy and I want you to heal me." The king of Israel tore his clothes and he said, "What is this man doing to me? Does he think I'm God that I can bring someone back from the dead?" Do you see their view of leprosy? All right, Naaman has leprosy. The king is like, "What's he doing? He's trying to start a war. I can't bring people back from death." They looked at leprosy as a death sentence. Now, the whole story is, then Elisha writes a letter to the king and says, "Dude, calm down." That's my version. Okay. He's like, "Calm down. Stop tearing your clothes. Send them to me so they know there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman comes and rides over to Elisha. Elisha doesn't even come out of his house. He sends his servant boy, "Hey, go tell Naaman to dip 7 times in the Jordan and he'll be healed." So his little servant boy, his name is Getzi, goes down and he tells him, "Hey, go to the Jordan and dip 7 times, you'll be healed." Naaman gets angry. He's like, "Why doesn't he come out and tell me himself? Look me eye to eye. I'm somebody great. Come tell me how to be clean." And he goes away all mad and he won't even do it. And one of his servants is like, "Naaman, if he told you something hard, would you go do that hard thing? Why not just do the simple thing?" So he went down to the Jordan, dipped 7, healed. Okay? There's a healing, but it's of an enemy. You follow me? Now, Getzi gets a bad idea and says, "Hey, Naaman's healed, so I'm going to go tell him to give us some payment." Getzi goes out and tells Naaman, "Hey, my master decided we want some money for this." Right? So he gives him some. Okay? As soon as Getzi comes back to Elisha, he says, "You'll be smitten." Leprosy instantly. Right? So here's two cases. Smitten, leprosy, instant. The third one is another smitten one. And it's Moses, Aaron, and their sister Miriam. And some of you have heard this, but Aaron and Miriam are kind of over here. And they're like, "Hey, you're the priest. I'm the prophetess. Why do I got to be the girl? Okay, all right, I'm Aaron, and here's the girl." You guys didn't even follow that. That's good. Okay. All right, now I'm Aaron, I'm the priest, and I'm talking to Miriam, and Miriam's like, "We could prophesy just as good as Moses. God talks to us." That's my attitude of how she's saying it, okay? And Aaron's like, "We're just like Moses." And God hears them, all right? Now God takes up the case for Moses. God shows up and he says, hey, listen up. You are a prophet and you're a priest, and I tell prophets what to do in visions and dreams and my word, but I speak face to face with Moses. Don't you dare come against him. All right? Guess what happened? Instantly, Miriam gets leprosy for coming against Moses. And right away, her brothers, Aaron and Moses, are like, oh, Lord, please don't afflict her with leprosy. Change her, heal her. And I picture, because I got siblings, I'm like, you know, after a year. They're here. They know. Okay. So what God says to Aaron and Moses is, if her father had spit in her face, she would have to be unclean for 7 days. She must stay out 7. Now, she was outside of the camp for 7 days, was healed, and brought back. And what I want to tell you is this next part. Like, there's 3 cases, all of them smitten by God. Instant. So anybody with leprosy in Bible time is just like, God's got a problem with you. You got leprosy. God's not for you. God's against you. He only smites those that he's not for, right? Can you imagine their mindset? Okay, thanks. You're with me. Now, this is the thinking of the Old Testament, but I want you to see that these 3 cases, Miriam, she came against God's leaders. Smitten. Getzi, tries to take money for God's miracles. Smitten. Uzziah, pride. I'm great. I'm awesome. Smitten. And I want to tell you folks, that's outside leprosy. What if it's in your heart? Well, I could do something better than that. You got leprosy in your heart. Oh, I can lead this better. Or, oh, you know what? We should be doing this with money. We should be doing that. And you got leprosy in your heart. Oh, I think we can have it this way. And I think I can do it my own way. And I can offer God any sacrifice I want. And I can do whatever I want. You got leprosy in your heart. This leprosy, I realize I've got leprosy in my heart. As I told you Monday night, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And I spoke to my accountability group, and I realized I was judging a brother. I was wrong. I was in judgment. I had leprosy in my heart. I was unclean. You know what? I wasn't fit to even worship God. Put outside of the camp, folks, I tell you what, the worst place to be is just outside of his grace. Just outside of his mercy. It's all of our story. This man in our story here of Jesus healing this leper, what I think about is this man is in the lowest point of his life, crushed, no family. He doesn't ask Jesus, hey, is this a convenient time to talk to you? You know why? Because in Matthew, Jesus just got done with the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. It says this in Matthew, as soon as he stepped off the mountain, leper, right there. Somebody say, Jesus, I'm unclean. Jesus. This guy just got done preaching. It's not about convenience. Now, we know this man is healed, but I want to fast forward to what Jesus tells him, okay? Jesus tells him, don't tell anybody. In fact, it says, urge him strongly. Don't tell anyone. Go to the priest and tell them to offer the sacrifice as a sign to them. You follow me? You know, this is all of Leviticus 14 right here. Jesus is telling this man to go tell the priest to do Leviticus 14. You guys ready to see? I'm not going to read it all to you. But put up that picture, Jordan. There's a bird, 2 birds. This is a picture of what the priests are about to go do because this man was healed by leprosy. So let me explain it to you. It's hard to read, but I'm going to give you what it is. This is all of Leviticus 14. There's three steps. This is step number one. A man is healed of leprosy. He shows up outside of the camp. He still can't go in. I need a priest. I need a priest to come see, examine me. I'm clean. I'm clean. Let's go into the room. Give me the garment. I'm clean. Like, come on, let's do this. Leviticus 14. And you can imagine the rabbis like, who's been healed of it? Oh, back in Aaron and Moses' day, when have they ever done this sacrifice? And the answer is they haven't. There's no recorded healing except Jesus' healing right here. And this is what they do. They take two birds, okay? As you see in the picture, they hold on to one. The other one, they tie it to a cedar board with scarlet yarn. I know it's a black and white picture, but that yarn around them is supposed to be red. So they got one bird on a board. The bird is tied down by a red scarlet yarn. And then they take and dip that bird on the board into a clay pot, over running water, and drowned it. And then they kind of take its head and just separate it a little bit so the blood can come out. I'm trying to keep this PG. All the blood runs into that clay pot. Okay? They now take hyssop, which is like a branch, it's almost like a paintbrush. Dip it in, throw it on the leper 7 times. Just restored to fellowship. Here's the next thing they do. They take the live bird. They dip it into the clay pot and all the blood, and they set it free. This is the sacrifice they're doing in the temple because of this miracle in Mark chapter 1. And I want to tell you, this is your sacrifice too. This is mine. I mean, have you ever heard Jesus was nailed to a cross? Do you know he laid his life down? They did not take it from him. He laid it down. That red yarn is the covenant blood that kept him right there. Blood and water poured from him as the same sign. And by his blood, you're dipped and you're set free. He sacrificed himself for me. I'm the leper. I'm unclean. I'm not holy. I'm not perfect. But that's my Jesus nailed to a cross. What held him there was his love. What I'm washed with is his blood. And I'm set free, church. No, that's a touchdown. You're set free. If you got the blood of Jesus on your heart, you're free. Why are you not excited? Why am I? Tell the world. Just like the leper. Hey, church, keep quiet. No, I'm set free. Jesus has washed me with his blood. I'm pure. I'm holy. I'm innocent. I'm before God without blemish, without spot. No, I will not talk about this. He's my sacrifice. Oh, you think we're in the clear, though, but if you never had the blood on you, you're still guilty. You're still unclean. And I told you this is one sacrifice of three for the leper. There's another one. It goes on. It says, now the guy must shave off all of his hair, go into quarantine for 7 days to make sure he's pure. When he steps back out, they shave all his hair again. And then they're like, hey, okay, he's clean. That's second. Here's the third. According to what he could afford, he got a bull, a ram, a goat, or 2 turtle doves, and he took them to the priest, and they sacrificed them to God as a burnt offering. Now, there's stages. Here's what they did. They took the blood of that animal and they put it on the leper's right ear, right thumb, and right toe. How many of you have heard of an anointing like that? Who'd they do that anointing with? The priest. Every priest in the temple was anointed on the right lobe, the right thumb, the right toe. Why? Because what you hear is what you do. What you hear is what you do, and what you do is what you go and walk with. Hear, do, go. Hear, do, go. And then that's not it. They take the oil, and then where the blood was applied, they put oil on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. This leper gets anointed just like a priest because God's telling you you're fully restored. Church family, if you have no blood of Jesus on your heart, you're still in debt for your sacrifice. You're still in debt. Your blood payment is required because of your sins. But if you say like the leper, I'm unclean, Jesus. Are you willing to cleanse me? Jesus steps down. I'm willing. Be clean. That's for every heart. That's for every tongue. That's for every soul. That's for the whole world. Do you know you have the blood? Because the Holy Spirit won't come in unless the blood is applied. And the Holy Spirit is the oil. There's no spirit where there's no blood. It's such a beautiful picture. But it's not over. Because you and I, if you don't know Jesus, now's the time. If you do know him, we get spots. Church family, we get infirmities. We get leprosy of the heart. It's through money. It's through self. It's through ick. It's through this world. The cares of this world will choke us out. We need washed. 1 John 1:9 says it this way. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and purify me and wash me. Have we confessed lately? And I know you're grabbing for communion, but don't yet, because there's one more. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. It says it this way, and I'm going to try and do it from memory, but the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces and cuts, dividing soul and marrow, joint, spirit. It discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you hear this? It discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is our holy high priest, Jesus, that says, all creatures are laid open and bare and naked before him, who we must give an account. What does that mean? That means I stepped into the exam room and Jesus says, I see all your dirty thoughts. I see all your heart's desires and they're off. There's leprosy. You're sick. And I'm just laid open. And I got to give an account to him for every thought, every word, every deed, everything. And he knows I'm not going to make it. None of us will. Unless we got the blood. Have you been washed? Our high priest sees it all. Every creature is naked, laid open before him, and we got to give an account. This brings us to communion. You can grab your cup, and as it settles down, I'll tell you another. Steve, will you come up, please? You can take the screen down. Grab your gluten-free or the ones you need in the front. So this is what I want to say to you, church. Our high priest, it's examination time. He sees your heart. he sees right through it all. We can't hide. He sees our thoughts, our desires, our ways. Let the words of the man in this story be in your mouth. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. What I love is the words that are in our Savior's mouth. I am willing. Be clean. The Bible tells us before we take communion, we should examine ourselves to make sure we're worthy, to make sure we're ready. Because we're going to step behind the curtain and we're going into the heavenlies. Here's what's so beautiful. We get grace and mercy in our time of need. We get to approach the throne with grace and mercy, and who doesn't need it? I get to step into the exam room. He knows, yeah, we got some cleaning to do, son. But what he also knows is he washes us. He's willing to do it every day. Every day. Let's bow before him and take some time. The altar is open as Steve plays. You can come and pray or pray right where you are. Matthew 26:26 says, now as they were eating, Jesus, he took the bread and he blessed it. The bread that's in this cup is without yeast. It means it's not good. But what yeast represents was sin. This bread is without yeast because it represents Jesus, the only one without sin. And he said in the word that God had prepared a body for him just for this, just to be the sacrifice that was tied to the tree so the blood could flow, so we could be set free. The Bible said he took it and broke it. And this is a picture of every part of Jesus' body was broke open for the blood to come out. And it was so broken open that he didn't even look like a man. And what held him there to do this for you and me is the blood of the covenant, the love. So he took it and he blessed it. Lord, thank you for the perfect body that was Jesus Christ. We celebrate the death of that body on the cross. But thank you, Lord, that he came back with the body, a heavenly body, always bearing the marks of what it cost to get us there. The holes in the hands, the scars on the head, the holes in the feet will be there forever. Because I was set free. Thank you for that love. Thank you for that precious body. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Take a moment here before the blood, the juice. Steve, would you play for us? On the same night, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he told them to drink of it, but he said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," and listen to this, "for the forgiveness or the remission or the cleansing of sins." We weren't bought with silver or gold. We were bought and purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leviticus tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God gave it to us to make atonement on the altar for our souls. That atonement, it's in the heavenlies. It's precious blood. This is our forgiveness, church. This is our washing. This is how we were set free. Father, thank you for this blood as we get to partake because of you. You're our sacrifice. We love you. We thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for setting us free. But Lord, may we be your people as you are our God. We love you. We thank you for showing us that love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us partake. Before the band plays, I have one more I love partaking of communion. If you fast forward in Mark chapter 14, verse 1 through 5, Jesus is actually being anointed for his death. He's a week before the cross. And most of you have heard the woman that anoints him, right? What's in Mark is that Jesus is sitting in the house of Simon the leper. Did you hear that? Our Savior is sitting in the house of Simon the leper. How did he no longer become a leper? And guess who else is sitting at the table? Lazarus. Raised from the dead, Lazarus. So you got Jesus sitting in a leper's house. You got Lazarus on one side and the leper on the other. Who raises the dead, church? Who heals all infirmities? Who? I dare you not to tell. I pray you can't keep quiet. He set you free. Let's worship him with all we got.